NBA Australia. How you going? That's right, it's NBA Australia's Friday, November 8th. TGIF, am I right? And I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet green, that sweet, sweet walking round money, that booze money. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball. In the NBA today, breaking down, wrapping up every little bit of NBA action for you while repping Australia just a little bit, mate, just a little bit. It's what we do. All right, so it's our 351st episode. Ah, that's not as good as 350. And not as good as 350 is today's guest. That's right, we've got no Nick K on today's show, but we do have Knicks fan Jake. He's in studio, which is wild. Look, I'm as disappointed as you are, but it's all right. It means I get to crap on the Knicks a lot, and you'll enjoy that. So we're going to do a top five best and worst moments of the Knicks this century. Jake's covering good, and a surprise twist, I'm covering bad. We're going to get to that after we do a quick run-through of today's games. And then all the usual dumbassery. That's not an iPhone, mate. No, mate. Spud of the night, pantsing the evening. Better than Lonzo Ball, of course. There's, yeah, nah. There's the unpopular opinion of the day, and there's Outback Takehouse. We're going to serve up some flame-grilled takes. Well, one of them. And then there's Australian Player Watch, the Knicks top five thing, and we're going to make a pick and a preview for every single game on the entire weekend, Goldman. There's 24 games. It's a lot of games.
And let me just say, I'm just going to try to bring a little more energy than Eddie Curry brought to the Knicks.
Nice. I dig it. All right, man. We're going to finish up with a song again this week to get you stuck into the weekend. So, either way, good show, boys. Let's get into it. NBA's your episode 351. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
Wah! You better! Oh, you better watch out for the tin attack. It's Friday. Friday, am I right? Here we go. Anyway, better watch out for the attack of the Knicks fan. Jake Goldman in studio, the first in-studio guest in this iteration of NBA Australia. How you going?
I flew first class, courtesy of NBA Australia, all the way to Melbourne just to be on this podcast, live and in person, here in the beautiful Larry Armour Studios.
So are you upset that you follow Nick K, a much ballyhooed, much anticipated guest, and then everyone's like, oh, who the fuck is this prick?
Yes, I am. Though I had a great NBL experience the other day, watched the United against the Phoenix. Wonderful, wonderful night. Beautiful basketball being played, and Melo Tremble, Maryland, maybe not grad, but Maryland ball player, fantastic, great time.
So are you going to tell Australia what you thought about the their cheerleaders?
In America, typically it's either women and men or children. I found kind of the three, men, women, and children, to be, it took some getting used to, we'll say, a bit of getting used to.
I mean, you were crying about it all game, but it's all good.
You know, I was actually just thinking about the Knicks.
Nice. Yeah, that checks out. Yeah. All right, man. So a quick bit of news, the daily whip around. Big Simo, Ben Simmons. Did you see this today? He's out for a week.
Everyone's going to overreact to that.
I mean,
but he'll be back.
It'll the joke I made yesterday was like, what's it going to do? Affect his jump shot? Like, come on, man. Three games, grade one AC sprain of his shoulder. Yeah, I don't know. And thanks to one of the dudes who chimed in on the old NBA Australia Facey page yesterday, was like, hey man, I'm American and I follow this shit because it's funny and you guys are legends. I also live in Salt Lake City and Royce O'Neal did nothing wrong. How can you put him on the shit list? I'm like, well, sir, I can put whoever the fuck I want on the NBA Australia shit list. And also, come on, like, Royce O'Neal didn't do anything wrong. It was just a bit of a bump here and there.
Right. So, I mean, Utah fans, particularly vocal on the internet, I find.
Yeah, if someone's, you know, of a specific non-color, you know, woo, way to go, Jazz.
That was James, in case you didn't know.
Hashtag problematic. Paul George might be back next week.
I mean, the Clippers, I just think, are going to be the most dominant team in the NBA by the end of the year. They're going to put it all together. George and Kawhi, play offense, play defense, that deep, deep bench. Rodney Magruder. Bill Simmons' favorite. Just a good team, deep team.
I also like that, you know, they might be the most dominant team by the end of next week.
Like, yeah, I gave them to the end of the year just so Laker fan Tim didn't call me up and attack me immediately following this podcast.
So a bit of other news. There was a great Reddit thread about the correlation of James Harden's performances in cities with better strip clubs than not. And, I mean, like, no shit. Like, I need fucking nerds to tell me that James Harden likes strip clubs.
Yeah.
Like, fuck off, nerds. We get it. And then you had fucking that dipshit Darren Ravel coming out going, oh, look at this. This is some pretty good content. And everyone's yelling at him, that's not your content. Stop stealing content, Darren.
So another week on Twitter.
Yeah, just Twitter. But the Reddit, it was a great Reddit thread. And like, but nerds doing nerd shit is always funny. But at the same time, like, as if these nerds have actually been to a fucking strip club. To be fair, I've been, you know, pontificating about James Harden and all the stripper glitter in his beard for the last 3 years. So, look, I feel vindicated, if nothing else. So, there we go. There was one thing I forgot to mention on yesterday's show. Eric Bledsoe putting on a Bledsoe show and dribbling in from out of bounds, which was great. I sort of thought about it, was like, oh, I could put him in Spud of the Night. And then I'm like, he's going to be shacked in a fool anyway. Who gives a fuck, whatever. But it was pretty funny, right, Jake? Like, it's a very... grade school, primary yes. school, like, oh, fuck, I forgot. Ah, I got to pass it in. Yeah, I guess.
Complete grade school moment. I think we've all had those. The only difference is he's getting paid millions and millions of dollars to have those, and we're not.
So it's not as bad as a Rusty Westbrook just walk, carry the ball up the fucking court, is it, though?
No, it's not. But given Eric Bledsoe's kind of bumps in the road in the playoffs last year, he really needs to do everything he can to just keep it together and you know, play basketball the right way.
Eric, don't be a fuckwit, basically. Final bit of news. I don't know. This fucking just shits me up the wall, and I got sick of even just thinking about it. The Kawhi mess about him sitting out last night's game against the Milwaukee Bucks, Algonquin for the Goodland Bucks. The NBA ended up fining the Clippers $50,000 because of Doc Rivers talking about Kawhi's actual sort of injury, non-injury, after the game. So the NBA basically say to the Clippers, Kawhi can sit out back-to-backs because he's not completely healthy. NBA like, no problems. Doc then says, Kawhi's kind of healthy. And the NBA like, Doc, that's not what we fucking said, you idiot. Fine. You got to be consistent with the messaging. And then, but the reason Kawhi is vaguely healthy is because he's resting, right? What is this circular bullshit logic we're doing here? It's fucking retarded.
I've spent a lot of time thinking about this, and here's my view. Adam Silver and the gang over there have not slept in probably 2 months, thanks to Daryl Morey and the China situation.
China.
And they're a bit cranky and a bit fussy, and they took it out on old Doc last night.
Yeah, so the NBA basically say Kawhi's definitely injured and fine his own team for saying he's not actually that injured. Woj did tweet something about, here's a view of what happened. Can I do a Woj voice? Here's a view of what happened. Kawhi Leonard is private. He doesn't want his injury information public. Only it has to be public for the Clippers to escape league punishment on violating resting rules. Doc Rivers was trying to be supportive of Leonard. They'll take the fine. I don't know.
Pretty good. Do you think that those sentences were direct from Clippers PR, or do you think he changed a word here or there?
So you're the communications expert. Literally, that's your fucking job. This is literally like one of the PR people on the Clippers sending him the release or just a quote, right?
Yeah, they for sure just emailed him or texted him and said, hey, man, here's what's going on. Can you go say this on ESPN? And then he said yes.
Basically, the league sort of went, hey, we're cool with you guys resting Kawhi, even though it's pissing us off because of league fucking national TV games. Huge things. ESPN are fucking fuming, obviously. And then you've got a fan base. Like, we had Aussies over there yesterday. Literally, he'd flown there wearing Kawhi Leonard jerseys, and he fucking sits out. So I can understand, like, fans being frustrated, but I don't know. Like, we get to sit here and take, like, this long view. So that sucks. You spend a shit ton of money, go see the Clippers. Kawhi doesn't fucking play. You're going to be pissy. But at the same time, like, the NBA are like, oh, look, we've said it's okay. And then the Clippers turn around and go, nah, Kawhi's fine. We just set him out because fuck him. And you're like, ugh, $50,000. Come on, make it. Come on, let's do this thing.
And in the end, this is what the NBA is wrestling with, right? Yeah. Is, look, they know the balance. They know fans are paying exorbitant sums of money for tickets, and they keep going up. But they know at the same time, these teams aren't worried about what's happening in November. They're worried about what's happening in May and June, and particularly a team like the Clippers. And so they have to walk that line and figure out how to kind of keep everything in check and keep both sides from revolting. And so far, they've done a good job, but it does feel like things are starting to tear at the seams.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think as old Carson Mad Dog's over there said to us today, it feels like this is an NFL response. And I'm like, there's nothing more perfect than that, right? Because it's basically taking something that's probably not a problem and then actually turning into a problem and not fixing anything. And it's just like, that's bang on NFL moves, right? Yeah.
Completely.
Impressing yourself into a situation to fix shit that probably doesn't need to be fixed. What the fuck are we doing here?
Yeah. Well, and there's a way to do it where you're not fining someone $50,000 and drawing a lot of public attention to it and taking up a day.
Yeah. Point being, who fucking cares? Yeah, I'm already bored with it. I hate it. Let's do the game wraps. We had four games. Boston at Charlotte. Dude, did you see the fucking Celtics against the fucking Hornets, kid? 108-87. Celtics kicked the fuck out of the Hornets. And it was a double revenge game, gold man. We had Scary Terry going against his old squadron. And he had Kemba Walker returning to Charlotte for the first time. Unfortunately, neither played very well. Scary Terry, much worse than anybody. Charlotte shot 38% in this game.
Not good.
6 of 31 from deep. They had two players in double figures. Shit pumped. Terry Rose, he might pop up again in just a second, but 3 points, 1 of 11 shooting. I'll give you a guess as to what fucking segment he pops up in. Miles Bridges, though, 18 points, 10 rebounds. He's been good. Good on him. Boston, Kemba, not great. 4 of 12, 14 points, 6 assists. We're still in plus 20. That's how shit Charlotte is. Do you reckon, like, Kemba just sort of played that game and went, oh, thank fuck I'm out of here?
Well, yes. One. Two. Did I read that he cried during the game?
Sure. Mm. I mean, he seems like a crying kind of guy.
Emotional.
Tatum had 23-9, and Gordo, make America great again, fuckhead. 20-10-6. Is the old Gordon Hayward, is he back? Hey, Jake, is Gordon Hayward back?
I know James is a big hot take guy. I'm not. But he looks good. And look, when you have Kemba and Tatum and all these other guys playing well, it takes a little bit of pressure off and he can do what he does best and kind of fill the lane.
You basically need like 80% of old Gordon Hayward and you're fucking laughing.
That's exactly right.
All right, Hornets, 4-4. Celtics, 6-1. Best record in the East. Gosh. OKC went into San Antonio and had their asses spanked. OKC, look, anytime you can lose a game when you shoot over 52%, you got to do it, I guess. Getting out rebounded by 16. That'll do it. 47-31. Danilo Gallinari, one of your all-time favorites, the Rooster. 27 points for the Rooster. Sure.
Danilo will also make an appearance later.
He's going to make an appearance in my list, too. 19-5 for old-ass Chris Paul. Shai Redder, Gilgeous Alexander. Out there just shredding motherfuckers. 21 points. 9 of 18 shooting. I fucking love him. San Antonio, they had 14 more shots than OKC. That'll do it in a 9-point game. Yeah. LaMarcus Aldridge, that fucking... Ugh, I hate him so much. 39 points, though. 19 of 23. Do you think OKC just went, let him score. We'll shut down everybody else?
Yeah.
I mean...
Classic strategy.
It's a good one against LaMarcus
Let
Aldridge.
Let the best
team.
Player get as many points as they want.
19 of 23. Mm. It's fucking... Like, what was Steven Adams doing? I don't know. 6 rebounds, 4 assists for him. DeRozan there. 16-6-9. Nice.
USC graduate, DeMar DeRozan.
Your buddy. Yeah. Did you guys hang out when you went to college?
He's a lot younger than me, so no.
All right. That's a real shame. Mm. I feel like you guys would have been tight.
We would have been tight for sure. Yeah.
Pretty similar lifestyles.
Yeah. Well, OJ Mayo and I hung out all the time. So.
You hung out with OJ?
Mayo.
Oh, Mayo. What was your shared love of sandwiches? Is that how it goes?
We do both love all foods.
DeJounte making his case for most improved player of the year in the bag and trying to win me a fuck ton of money. BT Dubs, just saying. He was one of my big tips before the start of the season. He was one of my most improved tips before last season, so I just rolled it over. Looking good. 17 points, 10 assists, 8 rebounds. There's going to be DeJounte Murray triple-doubles this year. 7 of 12 shooting. Still can't shoot threes. Didn't bother today. Bryn, your mum's best mate, Forbes. Literally the only dude I think ever called Bryn. 14-6. Hit 4 of 7 from deep. San Antonio sort of rolled to this. No problems, which I didn't expect. I picked OKC. That was a bit of a loss by me, but what are you going to do? Thunder, 3-5. The slippage is a little bit real now. Started off well. Now it's a little bit tough. Spurs, still 5-3.
You think this is Billy Donovan's last year there?
No, because they'll get rid of Chris Paul and then they'll go into full-blown rebuilding mode and he'll be just like, all right, now I get to remake it all in the way I want to with my crazy Vegeta hair and shit. But ironically, isn't Thunder Spurs your cowboy name?
Why are you telling people that?
I'm pretty sure Thunder Spurs is your cowboy name. That's great. Thunder Spurs, there you go. 121.
Everyone in America has a cowboy name, just for all of you listening.
I got my horses in the back. Miami at Phoenix. Look, the sweat bowl. I fucking love the sweat bowl. The cause and effect bowl. The Suns versus the Heat. 124. Miami run over the top of the Phoenix Suns. They honored Tom Chambers, Seattle Supersonics legend, actually, Tom Chambers, at one point, which is kind of neat. But Miami just, look, this was fucking tight, this game. I watched a bunch of it. Aaron Bangers Baines crushing motherfuckers left, right, and center. It was incredible. Goran Dragic, however, just goes, you know what? I'm Slovenian as shit. Fuck all you guys. I'm going to call my mates. I'm going to call my cousins. I'm going to come around and kick the shit out of you. You like this business? It's now ours. Really scored 11 points in 2.5 minutes, and just that was the game. It blew the game open in the fourth quarter. It was tight until then it was over. Phoenix Booker had 22-5, but oh, I've heard that he's only a good stats, bad team guy. Aaron Bangers Baines laid some fucking wood. 3 off his career high, 23 points, 10 of 17 shooting. Unfucking real. The 3 he dropped in was beautiful too. 1 of 3 from downtown. How do you feel about Aaron Baines becoming the newest unicorn in the NBA there,
Jake? I would never speak ill of Aaron Baines in this room on this podcast.
Not with me toting this beard. Kelly Oubre Jr., 15 points. Ricky Rubio. Ricky Tiki Tata with 11 points, 11 rebounds on 11 shots.
Best hair in the NBA?
Best hair. Ooh, it's so flowing.
Yeah.
It is beautiful.
It's really good hair.
What was it? Puppy Breath and Cinnamon? That was Ricky Rubio, how we all imagine that he smelled.
Is that his cowboy name?
Might be. Miami, Jimmy Butts. Super efficient. 11 of 16. 2 of 2 from deep, 34 points. Scored a bucket without a shoe. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Like,
Should be four. Over
Bangers Baines, too. Yeah. To be fair, I thought Bang was going to pick up his shoe and beat the shit out of him with it, but he didn't. So, what are you going to do? Butts, 34, Miami win. You get the feeling that every time Butts plays well, Miami will always win, just because the supporting crew is so good.
I think that's right. The other question I have is Justice Winslow. His ceiling is Jimmy Butler, right? And how weird is that to see the ceiling of a player and the player on the same team? I'm trying to kind of think about other instances where that's been the case.
It is weird. Like, Winslow is a bit bigger, I guess.
Defensive stalwart, can make enough happen on offense. I mean, and obviously, Winslow is not even close to there yet. But he could get there, potentially.
Can't shoot either, which is a problem. But anyway, Winslow didn't actually play today. He sort of sat out. There was a... There was some sort of thing. I can't remember what it was, but whatever. You're not here for the info, motherfuckers. Bam! Adebayo had 15, 10, 6, and 5. What do you reckon the 5 were? 15, 10, 6, and 5.
5 assists.
5 steals. 6 really? Assists. 1 block. I fucking love Bam Adebayo.
I just think it's 6 blocks.
Yeah.
That was good. Yeah.
Goran! Oh. He might pop up again later too. 25, 6, and 4. There goes my hero. Tyler Hero, 15 points. He was good. Duncan Robinson. Look, I don't know. I've got to check this. Yeah, he was a plus 29.
That guy can stroke it.
28 minutes. He had 6 points and went 1 of 5. The plus minus stat is fucked. but anyway, there you go. Suns are now 5 and 3. I think feel like they've finally updated the standings. And Miami is 6 and 2. Sneaky 6 and 2. They did get 2 weird wins over Atlanta that basically were kind of walkovers because Trae Young got hurt in one of them, and then they stomped them literally a day or two after in a back-to-back. So there you go. Heat looking good. Suns, the winning streak is over, but still not bad to go, 5-2 in your first seven games, lose those two by 1 point each. It's a bit fucked. Finally, Portland to Clippers. We watched a bunch of this one. 101, the Blazers. PDX Pete's Trailblazers. Lose 107 to the Clippers. Fun game. Back and forth. Big third quarter by Portland to get them back in this game. Fun as shit. But I still feel like any team that's starting Anthony Tolliver, a.k.a. John Sally's character from the movie Eddie, starring Whoopi Goldberg, is probably not going to win that many games. Worst first half of the season for the Blazers. 40 points. They're only down 7, though, which is pretty crazy. Got up with that big third. Then Kawhi Bot woke up, booted up after load managing his first 3 quarters. And then Sweet Lou knocked in that dagger 3. I think you were actually watching at that point too, weren't you? And they went up 4. Turnover at the end after a bad CJ McCollum shot. Spud Hood got a nice rainbow jumper after Beverly sort of fell out of bounds with the ball. But the Clippers hit their last 6 shots, hit all their free throws, and won the game.
And how about that Beverly stop on Dame?
Oh.
I mean.
Oh, he just shut him down.
Yeah.
It's like Dame's like, oh, I'm going to do this. And Bev's like, nah. Nah, you're not. Fuck you.
And the amazing thing is, no one from the Clippers even hinted that they were going to come over and help.
It's like, I don't know, set Ice Green. Just one. Just one.
Yeah. Clippers were just like, no, Bev's got it. And he did.
The crazy thing is, like, Hassan Whiteside is just, like, standing there going, duh, what are we doing? So Dame and CJ both, weirdly enough, go 9 of 23. You both end up with 22 points. Anytime you can score less points than field goals attempted, it's a win. Bull. Just a real rough one. They combine to go 4 of 16 from downtown, too. So I feel like when that happens to Dame and CJ, you're going to lose the game. Whinge and Hassan Whiteside, though, out there whinging, 17 points. 19 rebounds and 2 blocks. He was pretty bloody good. Super Mario Hazonia, though. Jesus. Right there. Oh, boy. 1 of 9 with his stupid fucking Hitler Youth haircut. What an asshole.
And we were talking about middle school basketball mistakes before. I mean, jumping up in the air, 3/4 court and not really sure what you're going to do, and then traveling.
Inbounding the ball, getting the ball, and then going, hey, I want to pass the ball, and then just going, I'll just go for a walk. Fuck it.
When I was 12, a good game for me was not doing that.
To be honest, that's a good game for me now. Anthony Simons, though, 5 of 12 from the floor for 17 points. He hit some very nice threes. He looks very good. I know that PDX Pete has a little boner about Anthony Simons, and you see that in a game like today. But Rodney Spud Hood, thanks for coming. 5 points, 5 rebounds. What a legend on 5 shots. Gotta love that symmetry. The Clippers, they basically relied on Kawhi Butt. 27 points. Sweet Lou had 26. They scored the last 19 Clipper points in this game, which is fucking wild. Trez at 15 and 8. And Ivica Zubac had 15 and 13. I fucking love Ivica. It's great. Anyway, Blazers slipped to 3-5. 3-5 to start the year. Clippers, 6-3. Looking good. How'd you feel about that game at the end of it there, Jake?
Great to watch. I mean, I brought it up before, but watching Beverly just shut down Dame, who's one of the best one-on-one scorers in basketball, was truly amazing. I also kind of, the Blazers are great. They're fun. They need to do something.
Kevin Love. All right. Yeah. Let's do it. NBA Australia approved performance of the night, though.
That's a knife.
Oh, LaMarcus. No, I'm not going to give it to fucking LaMarcus Aldridge. What do you think I am? Come on. I'm not fucking Stav. Old Spurs fan Stav. No, LaMarcus Aldridge did have 39 points, 19 to 23 shooting. Oh, that's pretty good though, James. Go fuck yourself, I say, because fuck me if I'm ever going to watch LaMarcus Aldridge and give him an award. How about though, you know how much I love a revenge game?
Yeah.
Revenge! Goran Dragic, the fucking dragon himself. Drogon, if you want to get all dyslexic. Versus the Suns, what do you reckon his last 4 games were? Were you just looking at me going, gee, nice Game of Thrones reference, fuckhead.
But then not acknowledging the Game of Thrones reference.
That's funny. A
strange decision.
Come on, man, this is broadcasting. 22-7, 2 steals. 24-9, 2 steals. 29-9-4, 11-10 with 3 steals. It's his last 4 games against the Suns. And then today he drops a 25-6-4 off the bench. 9 of 16 shooting, 5 from 7 from 3.
I think he's motivated to play this one.
I reckon he goes... It's unclear. I reckon every time he looks at that bench, looks at Robert Sarver and goes, how's my Slovenian penis take? It's good. Yes, you like Goran's penis in mouth. Isn't that bad, Sarver? Yes. Because he's from Transylvania as well.
Yeah, I got it. There's some kind of goat reference to be made about Sarver and Goran and all that, but I don't know what it is. So.
Yeah, maybe Goran did it. Anyway, there you go. Goran absolutely fucking smashed the Suns today. It was incredible. And like that little burst, as I said, it just burst open the game. And I just love a good fucking mano a mano against your old team going, actually, fuck you guys. I mean, sure, you paid me millions of dollars, but fuck you guys. I mean... This was why Terry Rozier versus Kemba Walker was actually fun and why I watched a bunch of that game early. The game fucking sucked, but Rozier shooting his team out of the game was pretty awesome, and Kemba being a bit, you know, emotional and shitty was also funny. But,
playing a personality.
Yeah. Nice one. Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Charles Barkley. He's not old mate, no mates. Everyone loves Chuck. That's amazing. He did, however, have a couple of words to say about Hassan Whiteside. His strength is going to the bank twice a month and stealing money.
Oh!
Now, there is no love lost here on this here program of NBA Australia for Whinge and Hassan Whiteside. Today he was pretty good, but at the same time, you can just see him space out halfway through possessions and just stop caring or trying on defense when he's like, oh, I'm not going to get a block on this one. Getting boxed out by Montrezl Harrell, left, right, and fucking center. Pretty funny, but it's also hilarious to see Hassan Whiteside get called out on national TV. I don't know. What are your feelings about Hassan there, Jake?
I'm actually going to talk about Charles Barkley for a second.
Sure.
By all accounts, Charles Barkley, wonderful man. Good basketball analyst, too. This year, he's leaned into the hot takes a bit more. Kind of quotables, good for Twitter, that kind of thing. And I'm not sure how I feel about it.
That's right. He's also lost a bit of weight.
He has. Good for him.
Charles is making a bit of a comeback. The weight that he's lost, I put on. But old mate, no mates. Look, Hassan Whiteside, we all know that he's got no mates. Everyone fucking thinks he's a weirdo. How about one of my actual favorites, old mate, no mates, a bloke who actually might have zero mates. I absolutely love when you're watching like a Charlotte game. Not when they cut to Michael Jordan, but randomly when they cut to Larry Brown. It's like, ooh, it's the 2001 coach of the year. It's like, he coached 87 fucking teams. No one ever wanted him again, apart from the Knicks. And now he's like just gone further down each and every single rank as everyone's gotten fucking sick of this asshole. And now he's like coaching fucking Division II women's volleyball or some shit, right?
Wasn't he coaching in Italy though for a while?
Yeah, he got kicked out of the country. It's like, you fucking suck, Larry Brown. And then I love just like, oh, he's the 2001 coach of the year. He did win a title.
He did. He also tormented the Knicks when he was head coach of the Pacers. I also hadn't thought about Larry Brown in nearly a decade. So
there you go.
Here we are.
But I love it. I just love getting amped up about Larry Brown because it's like one of those very strange examples of like an NBA coach who's like revered, who's like coached like a kajillion fucking teams, got a lot of wins, has won a title. And then you're like, you know, he coached the fucking AI Sixers like and shit like this. And you're like, holy crap, he was at least okay at coaching.
He didn't get in the way.
And then would always wear out his welcome quicker than you could say fucking boo. It's crazy. It's weird.
But you could see the TV producer just be like, who's, it's a Hornets Celtics game. Who's in the crowd? we got Larry Brown.
It's like Drabs would have been in the crowd yesterday if they had showed it. But anyway, what about Spud of the Night?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the Night.
Spud of the Night. Terry Rousey. Scary Terry was bitch-ass Terry, I think, today. 1 of 11 from the floor, Jake. 0 of 3 from downtown. 4 turnovers. Anytime you can have less points than you have turnovers, you got to do it. 2 assists. The classic Terry Rousey game. Obviously, the Spud of the Night. Pretty good. There was also Marv Albert, a bit of sputting. Look, I know he's like 400 fucking years old and he's busy like, I don't know, killing hookers or whatever the fuck he does. But in explaining the Clippers' new uniforms, well, the you know, their fancy, awesome throwback Buffalo uniforms, he got the history wrong. And I'm like, but Marv, you were there. Like, you were literally there calling these games and you got this fucking wrong. He's all like, they moved from Buffalo as the Braves and were the San Diego Rockets for 7 years before moving to LA to be the Clippers. I'm like, huh? San Diego, they were never the Clippers weren't the Rockets. The Rockets were the Rockets. What the fuck are we doing here? They're the San Diego Clippers. This is fucking crazy. It's Bill Walton. Like, holy shit.
I can confirm that's exactly what James said.
I did actually yell that at the
television. No one except me and the television. And the dog. Larry Arman.
Larry's just sitting there going, fuck this guy. I'm so sick of this guy. Fucking shut up, Redman. Pantsing of the night. PJ Washington erased Jason Tatum very nicely at one point tonight. PJ did not have a great game. But look, pantsing of the night, I really do feel like was just Scary Terry. He just got pantsed. On national TV, no less. It's like against his old team. He's like, these motherfuckers, they didn't respect me. They didn't want to pay me $20 million a year. Rightly so. Because you're shit. Then drops 1 of 11. I mean, what the fuck are we doing here?
The revenge games go one of two ways, right?
Goran Dragic?
Either, yeah, yes. You either go in and you absolutely crush them, or you do what Terry did today.
Yeah. Scary Terry, bitch ass Terry. All right, better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
We're coming for everybody as long as they're also standing in line at bankrupt court. What are you going to do? Get your merch? Get your merch?
Steve up.
Get your merch. Get your merch.
Wear it.
Get your merch. Get your merch. Get your merch. Get your merch.
I can confirm that I walk around the house just screaming out, wear it.
I can also confirm that.
At the baby and the dog. So better than Lonzo Ball for today, not PJ Washington. I mentioned that earlier. 1 of 8 from the floor. Did have that great block on Tatum, but wasn't great otherwise. I do love PJ Washington, though. Miles Bridges was awesome. I mentioned that, though. 18 and 10. There goes my hero. Tyler Hero, 15 points, 6 of 12 shooting, 3 of 4 from deep. Lonzo could only wish. 2 rebounds, 2 assists, a plus 14. But come on, I'm going to give this to Shai Redder, Gilgeous Alexander. 21 points, 9 of 18 shooting. Weirdly enough, the Clippers were the LA team to draft the best point guard of the last 3 years. Pretty weird, right? Pretty strange.
Weird, but there you go. At them now.
Crazy. It's weird how things work out, I guess. Look, it's Friday. Am I right? Better drink this beer. That means we've got a dickhead of the week.
Dickhead of the week,
LeBron James. Hey, washed. Hey, am I washed? Hey, guys, am I washed? Look at my fucking 3 triple-doubles. Am I washed? LeBron, mate, just settle down, mate. Oh, you guys said I was washed, but I'm not. I've had a bunch of triple-doubles, and you said I was washed, and look, I'm not. Fuck you. Like, what are you fucking talking? What is he talking about, Jake? Like, literally nobody said. No, there was no giant article. The New York Times aren't saying, LeBron James is bad at basketball now. He's completely washed. Fuck him. He's done. He should just retire. He's bad. Fuck that. No one said that.
What people were saying was, the Lakers are going to win the NBA championship.
Exactly.
Right? That's what they were saying.
It's like the Lakers are fucking favorites to win the title. Oh, do you really think people are saying that you're washed if they're also putting all their money on you winning the title, you fucking moron?
Classic, just athlete needs motivation, so needs a reason to play every day.
What kills me about that is this then turns into like D-Wade jumps on this and goes, yeah, anyone who fucking says this is fake news. It's like, of course it's fucking fake news because LeBron made it fake news, you fucking assholes. Fuck! No one said he was washed. He's like, everyone said I was washed. No, we didn't. Everyone was like maybe going, oh, well, is Anthony Davis better than him now? Who's the better teammate? Is this the best teammate he's had? He's moving into a different phase of his career, obviously. And it's like, well, this is fucking born true so far. He's averaging 11 assists a game. He's leading the fucking league in assists. That's awesome. At the same time, no one was like, you're bad. Fuck you, LeBron, retire.
Look, he's got more money than he could ever need in his life. So, he gets in his head, he's washed. People think he's washed. He goes out. 3 triple-doubles in a row. Lakers are looking good. LeBron's getting angry. Look out.
I'm washed.
All right. No comment.
Yeah, nah. Right after this.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Right, it's time for Yeah Nah. This is where we usually take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. First off, Jake, has your in-studio experience of NBA Australia been good thus far? Yeah nah?
Yeah. Particularly rearranging the desk so I could sit on the other side of it was particularly good. And just so everyone knows and kind of has the picture here, as I look up to my right, there is a painting or drawing, I can't tell.
It's a print.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper in a Warriors uniform, which probably resonates for, what, 3 people listening to this podcast?
Are you kidding? Hanging with Mr. Cooper was a massive TV show in Australia.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Well, then there you go. We got Mr. Cooper in the Warriors uniform.
That is one of my all-time favorite posters. So it's
it is a good one.
It's Mark, Mr. Cooper, in a Warriors uniform, number 7, as a hoops basketball card.
Yeah.
And it's fucking gross.
Looking good.
I love it.
You got a Man City scarf. All kinds of good things going on in here. So I'm going to give that a... Yeah.
What else? There's a Charles Barkley jersey, a Sean Kemp jersey, the Sonics flag that you actually got me in Mexico.
From Mexico City.
Wow.
What else we got? Had to get it for old James.
Got a signed Gary Payton.
Yeah. A lot of Sonics paraphernalia and then a nice Clash flag situation, a little mini basketball hoop, obviously. A lot happening.
So there's a signed Gary Payton inside sport cover.
Mm.
There's a signed Sean Kemp poster.
Yeah.
And there's a signed Nate McMillan. Drawing, illustration.
Nate McMillan, underrated. Him and correct. Detlef Schrempf. Love them both.
I never actually thought about that, but they're all signed. Huh.
Yeah.
Weird. Anyway, cool. I'm almost on the second beer. Nice one. Let's do this. Nas, look, these are going to be quick ones I'm going to lob these at Jake and see how well we go. Goldman, do you agree with Michael Jordan? just in general. no, you're paid
Republicans do buy sneakers.
They really do. And so do the Chinese. You're paid to play 82 games. Yeah, nah.
Ooh, these are deep questions.
That's a good one.
I'm going to go nah. I think you were paid to play most of the games. But if you were an elite level and an elite talent and your team is going to make a run in the playoffs, I think the team has every right to say, look, we're gonna sit you for a few days here and let you rehab and let you feel good. So come playoff time, you're ready to go and fired up. In the end, James, I don't know if you know this, but it's about winning championships.
You're all about titles?
Yeah, I'm all about titles.
Oh, Jake Rings Goldman.
That's why I'm a
Knick
fan.
Yeah, that's why you're a Kobe fan. Yeah, look, you're paid to play 82 games. I actually yelled about this on Twitter today about like your mate Trey Wingo retweeting a Rex Chapman video of like 80s and 90s hits. And like, you know, fights and stuff. And I'm like, yeah. All right. And he's like, yeah, this is how they used to, for any of you millennials who are thinking like rest is cool, this is how it used to be back in the day. I'm like, all right, fucking boomer, settle down. Settle down, boomer. Come on, mate. Look, what that happily just like negates is all the fucking 74 to 68 playoff games, the 8-year careers cut short by injuries that would now be happily sorted out. And also, like, you know, mismanaged injuries, all the horrible fucking mid-range jumpers, and of course, all the fucking games where they played zero fucking defense most of the time. You watch an old game now, and you're like, what are all these cunts doing? Fucking nothing. Jesus.
Well, I think you can have fights and not play 82 games.
Yeah.
There's a middle ground here, and I'm all for the kind of elbow throw in mid-90s basketball, but I think there's a balance to be had.
As I said, I'm all about the biff, but I don't think calling out people playing 76 games in a season and taking six games
completely
off
agree with that.
Is the same shit. And like the same thing with like people talk about, oh, but the bad boys and like, you know, the 90s Knicks, they played hard all the time. Watch some of like, watch them play in a February fucking game. They're not playing like it's fucking playoff basketball. Come on.
Right.
We need to chill on that dumb shit. There's some boomer shit. We're not boomers. Next up, Gold Man. Are the Clippers scarier than the Lakers? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, for sure. No question about it. In the end, it's depth, and they have a lot of it. And I love guys like Montrezl Harrell. I'm a sucker for guys like Montrezl Harrell. And him to come in and kind of clean up for PG and Kawhi, and then you got Lou Williams. And yes, they are. And come playoff time, that depth is gonna serve them well. And so, yes. Not even thinking twice.
Playoffs, you suddenly have to worry about Paul George ISOs, Kawhi ISOs, Lou Williams ISOs, Lou Will and Montrez high pick and rolls, Kawhi and Trez high pick. Like, you just, versus like the Lakers where you're like, oh, LeBron and AD and fuck.
Well, and LeBron's washed, right?
Yeah, so it apparently. Doesn't
matter. And you got Doc Rivers, who knows how to coach teams in the playoffs, knows how to coach big stars and manage those egos. So, yes, dangerous.
Last time we saw Frank Vogel, he was leading the Orlando Magic to 22 wins.
I do like Frank Vogel, though.
Final yeah, nah. Hey, so this keeps popping up. It's one of my least favorite NBA things. Hey, you should sign Jamal Crawford. Would you sign any of Jamal Crawford, Iman Shumpert, Joakim Noah? I know you love Joakim. Or Melo, Carmelo Anthony, if you're an NBA team right now. Like, say you're the Warriors, and you're like, we just need bodies. Or you're contending, you're like, we need an extra little bit of Bob. What do you reckon? Would you sign any of these old vets? Yeah, nah.
I think Jamal Crawford probably has some value just because he can just stand out there and stroke it. Melo, no. And we'll talk about my feelings about Melo later. Who else did you mention?
So there? Jamal, Iman Shumpert, Joakim Noah, Melo.
Joakim, no. Melo, no. By the way, all four former Knicks, just so we're clear.
It is weird.
Jamal and Shumpert, yeah. Shumpert can play a bit of defense, and you can probably put him on the court for 10 minutes to kind of make a couple things happen. And Crawford will just stand in the corner and stroke it for you, and he's got the veteran experience and leadership. So I would say those two, yeah.
What I hate, though, is like the people going, hey, these guys deserve to be on an NBA team. No, they don't. No. Like, if they deserve to be on an NBA team and could actually offer something, they'd be
they
on a fucking NBA
be.
Team.
Correct.
What the fuck? We all said it down on that dumb shit. Correct. All right, unpopular opinion of the day. If you're listening yesterday, this is an extension of that one. And boy, howdy, it's going to be one for Gold Man. Unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me. Hey, Jake, you and your American buddies, can you just fucking settle down on that military shit? Jesus. You guys fucking lie. have the troops.
Can you provide some additional context?
Some troops. So basically what NFL this week was salute to service week.
Yeah.
And then the NBA has just been rife with all salute to service stuff.
I have a real
question.
So
Remembrance Day is obviously this weekend. Mm. Well, next weekend.
Obviously.
And that's fine. What really fucking gets me is that, especially for the NFL, it turns into Remembrance Month.
Yes.
And in the NBA, it's like literally every NBA game has a salute to fucking service as well. And now we're like going overboard with the services. And you're like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, I don't want to have to like blow a troop in November, and that appears to be the rule. Like, come on, man. What are we doing here?
I don't think anyone's asking you to do that, number one. I mean, if you have a problem with troops standing on center court being surprised by their families at the game, then you have no heart.
I love that shit. That's fine. Like, but that's the thing.
No heart.
It's when they then go over the top. It's like, all right, if you're a service member and you're here, it's like support. And everyone's like, yeah. It's like, you know, this guy's a cook. That's his job.
Here's the problem.
The fuck down.
Here's the thing. I have no problem with saluting people who are going to war-torn countries and doing what they're ordered to do. If you want to talk about the broader American military complex, we can save that for another podcast. But yes, I am in favor of supporting the troops. They're risking their lives. I'm on a podcast, so we should support them.
Nice one. Going into politics, Jake Goldman.
Always.
All right, what do you reckon? You ready for some Outback Takehouse?
Goldman? Always.
You love a bit of Outback Takehouse. You were there when we got into the Bloomin' Onion.
It's a Bloomin' Onion.
Bloomin' Onion conversation. All right, let's do it. Outback Takehouse.
It's Friday at Outback, and you know what that means. Ice cold, 4-for-1, TGIF Foster's oil drum cans full of icy cold Foster's beer. Of course, no prick back in Australia drinks this shit. It's cat's piss, but we foist on these fucking yank dickheads because they don't know any fucking better. Only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is... Hey Jake, why the fuck doesn't every Knicks fan just all vow to never go to another home game, literally ever again, until Dolan sells a team? It seems like that's something that might work. Only at Outback.
Well...
That's not even an Outback Takehouse. It's just me yelling at you.
Yeah. So thanks for that.
No worries.
I think it's certainly a viable idea. I think you got a couple problems. Tourists, number one. Tickets are going to be bought. I like the idea that currently there's some conversation about a bit of a lawsuit as the owner in an interview last spring said that people were going to be happy with the off season, and investments were made based on that, and people were not happy with the off season. So you got to start somewhere, and that's a good place to start.
Nice one. All right, let's do the Australian Player Watch and our big Knicks top five best worst moments of the last century of this century, isn't it?
This century,
yeah, this century. That's what we did. All right, right after. Let's say, who do you want to hear from? Let's hear from Isaac Humphries right after this.
Hey, this is Isaac Humphries, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, we are back. We're going to do a quick Australian player watch just before we get into the Knicks' top five, worst five. Big Simo, as mentioned, out for three games at least for another week. Bit shit. What are you going to do? No other Aussies actually had games today. Only four games. So we had Patty Thrills, Patty Mills against OKC. Not bad. 23 minutes, 10 points. 4 of 8 shooting. 2 of 3 from downtown. 2 rebounds, an assist, and a steal. Plus 6 overall. Coming off with 31 points the other night. That was pretty bloody good. On you, Patty. Gets the win. And Aaron Bangers Baines, I mentioned this earlier, against Miami, they lose. But he had a huge game. Hey, Jake, are the Suns better with Bangers Baines starting as opposed to number one pick DeAndre Ayton?
As I said, I would never knock Baines on this podcast. So
just as well. There's actually obviously No Baines knocking sign on the door, so it's weird. 23 points in 29 minutes. Pretty good.
Yeah, and also just on Ayton, I watched him quite a bit in college. There's just like a, not to sound trite, but like, does he even care about basketball that much?
He's just, what is he, Bahamian? Barbados?
Yeah. He played at Arizona. Obviously, he was good at Arizona. He's number one pick in the draft. But, like, the competitive spirit. I mean, that team lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament, which was, given the talent, pretty insane.
Didn't they have Mo Bamba on that team as well?
No, he was on Texas, but they had Alonzo Trier.
Ah, Jesus.
New York Knicks. Alonzo Trier.
10 to 17 shooting for bangers today. 1-3 from downtown. That means he's 16 of 33 for the year. That is fucking wild. 4 rebounds and 1 assist. Nice. All right, so we do have a lot of Aussies in action over the weekend. We'll talk about those in the game previews, no doubt. So, Jake Goldband, are you ready for this? It is time for the top 5 moments, best and worst, in New York Knickerbocker of New York City history so far this century.
So since 2000.
Since 2000.
Because to include the 1998-99 team.
Yeah.
Too good.
So let's do it. Let's bring in a special guest to intro this topic.
I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I just don't know.
I just don't know what to do with myself, Jake.
Me neither, James.
You're a New York Knickerbocker fan of New York City because you're from New York.
Yeah. Grew up in New York, had season tickets as a kid, was there for many great Knick moments in the 90s. Larry Johnson's four-point play. Reggie Miller scoring an ungodly number of points after pushing off John Starks. so many good moments.
And ironically, we met at a Brooklyn Nets game. So there you go. All right. So worst and best moments. Do you want to start with your number 5 best moment of the New York Knickerbockers of New York City century?
Yes, for sure. And just to be clear, we're going kind of number 1 would be the absolute
the
best
worst
moment.
Well, right, worst for best, me, best
okay,
for you.
Okay. So number 5, and it's going to be really specific, is the Madison Square Garden got redesigned a couple years ago. They renovated the whole interior. And specifically, they did something very innovative, and they put pedestrian bridges at the top, and you could walk across the top of the stadium. And I think it's very useful. One, kind of a cool view to watch the game. It's good that they have the very tall glass panes so no one falls or jumps off while watching the Knicks play basketball. So the Chase Bridge.
What was that?
What the hell was that?
What the hell was that? They also do have some sweet like Beastie Boys paraphernalia and shit up there too.
They definitely do. It's a good look up there. And I would say the whole renovation was quite nice, but you know, they still got to get the team playing well.
So your 5th favorite moment of the Knicks century was they redesigned and refurbished Madison Square Garden and put up glass panels so people can't kill themselves.
No. They put up a pedestrian bridges so people could walk across, which is quite cool in all fairness.
On the flip side, the 5th worst moment, or the 5th dumbest moment, I feel like, of the Knicks century so far, it's got a little bit to do with this guy.
Supercharged Zinger Burger.
The Supercharged Zinger Burger. You traded Kristaps Porzingis for Dennis Smith Jr. and 2 first-round picks. They're going to be in the 20s because Luka and Zinger are absolutely fucking crushing it. And you traded away a 23-year-old unicorn who could beat the shit out of a bunch of Russians in Latvia.
I don't think he did. You should
sure
take a look at that
pretty
video
sure that's
again
what happened.
Yeah, you should take a look at that video again.
He got jumped by 87 Russians and he beat them all off and then fought them. But anyway, you traded the Zinger for Dennis Smith Jr. and 2 first-round picks. I have an unabashed love and appreciation for the Zinger. I love his 7'3" motherfucker who can drop threes and block the shit out of you. And I especially love him next to a dude like Luka Doncic, which actually probably makes me appreciate it more right now. Of course, him stuck on the Knicks, it just always felt a bit shit. And I know Knicks fans got all upset with him. They're like, he's soft, he sucks, he's always hurt. At the same time, he was the most talented player you drafted since Patrick Ewing. And here you are just going, yeah, fuck that guy anyway. And you ran him out of town.
First of all, Knicks fans were not saying fuck that guy. That's incorrect. I do think, and I said this when the trade happened, I don't have as much of a problem with this trade as most Knicks fans have. No one knew what the recovery was going like, except for the Knicks. They clearly were kind of moving in a direction of like tanking, which is what's happening right now. And look, he's great, but he's over 7 feet. He's skinny. He has been unable to put on real significant weight. And he's had knee problems for a long time. So look, I didn't love it, but I didn't have a big problem with it. I think most Knicks
enjoy pick 27 and pick 26 and Dennis Smith Jr. Number four for you, Jake.
And the top three pick this year. Thank you very much.
Top three? Sure.
Oh.
RJ Barrett, it'd be fine, but still. Come on. That was your pick. Like you tanked your way into it. Fine. You were gonna tank anyway without the Zinger. You wouldn't have played him. You didn't get that in the draft. Or you didn't get that in the trade, so.
No, that's fair. But I think he was really unhappy. I think there was weird stuff with his cousin, who's also his agent. I don't know. He's in a good place now. Carlisle's a great coach. Luka's obviously a star. And he's got some consistency. And he'll probably thrive there. And that's great.
Knicks fucked up. Number four.
I promise I do have some basketball related great moments. This one, however,
is this is because you saw Blur play at Madison Square Garden or something? It's gonna
this
be
one, however,
amazing.
Is not basketball related. It's when they hired Donnie Walsh to become general manager.
That was fun.
And it was great. And it was great for a couple of reasons. One, because he ran the Pacers during those great Knick Pacer rivalries. And so just kind of having him on our side was phenomenal. But for the brief period of time, he was allowed to do what he wanted to do. He made a lot happen and undid a lot of mistakes from previous administrations.
It took him not much time as well. He crushed it, I feel like. He set up 2010 perfectly, and then they swung and missed.
He basically did what your boy Sean Marks did with Brooklyn, and then, surprising development, someone tampered with what he was trying to do, and he just said, I've had enough of this, and left. But clearly one of the kind of brilliant basketball minds, and he did what he could.
And then got run out of town because he got a bit sick. But also, I feel like 2010, he kind of hamstrung them when they wheeled him into the room during these presentations. And like every free agent who is like, this guy's about to fucking die. Who is this old motherfucker here? Yeah, could you imagine being LeBron in that meeting going, all right, so Professor X is here. That's fucking awesome.
But then he tells them about Dale Davis and Rick Smith.
So Antonio Davis is going to come over and kick your ass. Yeah. Great. Number four was, I like that. Like, I love me some Donnie Walsh. I think he's awesome. But the way that he was treated by New York then after that, I think was a fucking joke.
A theme.
That's going to pop up later. Mm. Number four for me is the Eddie Curry, Zach Randolph, Starbury, Isaiah Thomas. Let's do this fucking thing. There's some great photos at this time. There was I think it was an ESPN magazine. I don't know if it was a cover, but it was definitely like a feature photo of Isaiah Thomas flanked by Zach Randolph and Eddie Curry. And it's literally like they looked like they'd eaten four Isaiah Thomases before having the photo taken. It's literally like the fattest front court. And look, this is before the Isaiah Thomas sexual harassment case, which I'm going to get to in a surprise twist. But Starbury testified having sex with an intern in his car. That was great. He also testified against Isaiah Thomas, which led to a punch on in a team flight, which is pretty amazing too. Mm. But just the entire idea of Eddie Curry and Zach Randolph and Isaiah Thomas at the time going, this is the solution to our problems with Stephen Marbury. Let's do this fucking thing. Like,
okay, but
come on.
Stephen Marbury from Brooklyn. He was, people called him Starbury.
I loved him.
What's
Starbury.
Not to love?
I love Starbury.
What's not to love?
But Eddie Curry, Zach Randolph, it was just the most perfectly Knicks thing to do in 2007. Or 2006, 2007, into that season,
that
I think, right?
That sounds
right. And everybody else is literally like, what the fuck are they doing? And then, of course, the Knicks are like, we're the Knicks, eat a dick. And you're like, well, they're going to eat all the dicks and they're also going to eat all the fucking food.
If they'd only had Steve Francis.
Come on. Well, that was that made an honorable mention, I'll tell you that.
Oh, good. Yeah, good.
Nice one. So there you go. Number four, Eddie Curry, Zach Randolph, Al Starbury, Isaiah Thomas team. That was amazing. Fourth worst moment. Number three on your best moments, Jake.
The first half of Landry Fields' rookie season.
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, Lord.
For those who don't know, Landry Fields graduated from one of the most prestigious universities in the United States of America. Stanford. He was drafted in the second round. I'm talking over Stephen A. But to end the season, and I couldn't find a first half stat line for him, but to end the season, he averaged about 10 points. 6.5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal a game, and was shooting nearly 60% from the field.
Didn't he make like an all-rookie second team or something?
He did. He was in the kind of future stars, first team future stars, and just was the perfect complement to a team that, by the way, was incredibly fun. Gallinari, Wilson Chandler, Amari Stoudemire, MVP chance ringing through Madison Square Garden in the first half of that season for Amari. And just a really fun team to watch. And Landry reminded me a bit of like one of those old Knicks guys who just did everything that you needed to do to get the win and get the job done, and loved having him.
So in his rookie year, first 50 games.
Oh, there you go.
Up until the All-Star break, averaged 10 points, 7 rebounds, shot 52% from the floor, 39% from three. He was fucking great. Yeah. 2 assists, a steal.
And the amount of times he just dove on the floor to get the loose ball and did all the things that you needed him to do. He was a fan favorite for sure. Knicks fans love those kind of guys, and he was tearing it up.
Nice one. Number three, worst. The flip side of Landry Fields is kicking Charles Oakley, one of the most beloved Knicks of the past 40 years, out of Madison Square Garden. And then not only doing that, Jake, but also defaming him and saying that he was an alcoholic and then needed to get treatment for his problems of drinking.
Was that Charles Oakley that he said that about, or was that about a fan?
No, that was what Dolan said. He definitely was saying that we wish him the best with his treatment, all this sort of shit. Absolutely fucking wild scenes. He did also drop the alcohol. He dropped the alcoholism on like an actual fan on Twitter, right?
That's what it was.
Actually implied that Charles Oakley was a drunk. And like Oakley has had to be sued, countersue, all this crazy fucking shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're doing this to literally, Patrick Ewing's not the most beloved Nick of that team.
No.
John Starks isn't. It's fucking Charles Oakley.
Yeah, I would say it was Oakley and Mason. We're kind of the two guys who were the favorites during that era. Yeah. There's nothing.
You can't defend it.
No, there's nothing to add to that. I mean,
yeah.
Look, you can have your own problems with individuals, but
wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Anyway, number two, best moment of the Knicks this century for you, Goldman.
Yeah. It all comes back to China, doesn't it?
China.
Nate Robinson, 2006. Climbing up the ladder to block Yao Ming. What a beautiful moment for the Knicks. They had those cool jerseys where like the black strips were kind of along the side.
Love those black strips.
Those were good jerseys. Yeah, I mean, it was cool. It was exciting. Yao getting stuffed by a guy under 6 feet.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
That dude then went on to, ride Glenn Big Baby Davis and jump over Dwight Howard for the slam dunk contest, which I watched in a Dallas sports bar.
Do you know what's hitting me right now, and we'll continue in a second, is this is just so bleak.
It is really bleak. That is your second best?
Yeah. I have a really good number one, and then I have a special mention.
Nice one. Number two, Nick's worst moment of the last century for me is trading for Carmelo Anthony. Because there was a key word in there. Trading for Carmelo Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Could have signed him.
They could have.
But he might go to Brooklyn. So we have to trade every part of our team right now for him, or else he'll go to Brooklyn. Fuck. He was never going to Brooklyn.
No,
he was never. Not. There was no way he got to the end of that season and was like, you know what? Going to Brooklyn. It was not going to happen. They couldn't afford him. They couldn't sign him outright. What the fuck are we doing here? It's so dumb even to think about it. But Jesus. Instead, the Knicks go, oh, fuck it. Oh, we need to trade right now. Here's Raymond Felton. Here's Gallo. Here's Wilson Chandler. Here's Mozgov. Here's other stuff. Like, what the fuck?
He had done everything but say.
Ruined your team for the entire tenure of Melo.
Yeah.
Like, basically, because you just cut out the entire depth that you could ever have around Melo.
Yeah.
Then also had to deal with Melo. Yeah. One of the most oblivious, fucking super talented, idiot, savant basketball players we've had of the last 15 years. Yeah. But yeah, the trading for him, look, you feel like there's almost, and I don't want to hyperbole it too much, but there's a contender built around Melo in New York if you don't fucking trade for him and gut your fucking team. Oh,
the best case scenario there is you just sign him. And maybe you have to kind of lose one or two of the guys, but so be it. I mean, Chandler got, that core was a solid core. And they were playing great basketball. And if they could have just waited... As Donnie Walsh wanted.
Ray Felton was absolutely crushing it. Ray Amari was a fucking MVP candidate.
Pick and roll Felton and Amari. I mean, yeah, Amari rattled off 30, like 5 or 6 30-point games in a row. I mean, yeah. Like, look, you need stars to win. That's obvious. But they weren't going to win the championship that year. And so you could have just hung on and
away you go.
Signed them.
So dumb. All right. Favorite moment of this Knicks century for you, Jake Goldman. Number one, go.
This is really obvious. Lynn's Saturday. The best.
This is pretty funny
because
the worst moment of the Knicks century for me.
Wait, why are you?
Is Lynn's Saturday?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, let me talk about why I think it's great, and we can argue about it. It'll be fun. So, best 2 weeks in the last 20 years for the Knicks, without a doubt, and for New York. People walking around in Knicks jerseys again, people excited, people in bars watching Knicks games. It felt like they were winning. And let's be really specific. He dribbled the ball up the court against Toronto about midway through Linsanity. There's about 8 seconds left on the clock. They're down, I think, 2. He looks off Mike D'Antoni and pulls up for a 3 to win the game. And it was that moment that New York fell in love with Jeremy Lin. Fantastic. Just talking about it on this podcast is therapeutic.
You're actually about to cry. It's pretty weird.
Yeah, to be honest. It is pretty weird.
The 30-80 dropped against the Lakers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just great. And New Yorkers love an underdog, and he's an underdog. The whole thing made for New York. Made for New York.
Yeah, the 27-11 he dropped in Toronto. Absolutely insane. Oh, and
I'm going to have to watch that video.
Yeah, have a quick bat. That'd be nice. But Linsanity was incredible. Like, I loved it. I got to see some of it. I was actually in town while actually happened, which was fucking wild. So it was just before we moved to New York and was there in Madison Square Garden for some of it. It was unreal. There, it was sort of towards the end. He dropped 18 and 10 against Toronto in March.
Mm-hmm.
So 2-3 games before he got hurt.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely fucking wild. The craziest part was, it's exactly as you said. People in bars wearing Knicks jerseys, watching Knicks games, getting completely fucking psyched about the Knicks. People wearing jerseys. I fucking hate jerseys. I hate jerseys with a passion. But t-shirt jerseys with the Lin everywhere, Lin 7s, because you can make that quicker than a fucking jersey, right?
Yeah.
Off you go.
Oh, the sports stores were sold out.
So this is also why it's the worst moment for the Knicks. It gave you hope. Oh, it gave you hope. It made you think that things could be good again. And then you had the fucking crushing avalanche of disappointment that was the end of the season. We're like, I don't know, Melo didn't like him.
No, Melo definitely didn't like him.
Oh, there's this contract and he didn't take our initial offer, so fuck him. And then he signs the offer sheet with Houston, which the Knicks could have matched at any fucking point. They went, oh, it's a bit rich for our blood. They literally have a license to print fucking money at MSG.
Yeah.
It's downstairs. It's in Jimmy Dolan's fucking back pocket. It's a key to Madison Square Garden. That's what the fucking license to print money is. And they go, nope, it's a poison pill. We're going to have to pay him too much in year 2 and 3. Fuck you, Houston. Fuck you, Linsanity. It is the biggest fuck you to a fan base I think I've ever seen beyond, like, the Nets just gutting their team and shit like that and having to sit through 3 years of being horrible and shit.
Yeah.
But the Knicks had one thing. All their fans love Jeremy Lin. Literally, there was no one who was like, nah, Jeremy Lin can fuck off. Melo, always divisive. Lin almost had like an approval rating of like, this is fucking amazing. It's so much fun. And then you had it. They took it away because Jim Dolan. And this is what hangs over your entire franchise. It's the worst part of being a Knicks fan. The owner, Jim Dolan. Also, Anucha Brown Sanders.
If I'm not mistaken, we can fact check this right now, but I believe it was the same season as the Melo trade.
Yeah, because
which is why they had to sign Jeremy Lin in the first place.
Yep.
It was because they traded away 4 players for Carmelo Anthony. So you had Landry Fields playing great basketball. You had a great, very cohesive team playing super fun ball under Mike D'Antoni. Then they trade away, kind of aside from Felton, 3 pretty promising basketball players, and I think that's proven out over the years, for Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony doesn't like Jeremy Lin. He doesn't like Landry Fields. And they're both pushed out of town.
Yep. That's exactly what happened. It's fucking wild. And horrifying. And look, a smart team would never have let it happen. And Knicks, not smart. Anucha Brown Sanders is obviously a hilarious one. I've got some honorable mentions. Phil Jackson's entire tenure.
Yeah.
Signing 87 power forwards this offseason.
Hold on. Phil Jackson never moved to New York. Let's just be really clear about it. he got paid tens of millions of dollars to live in Montana on his ranch.
And also hang out with his girlfriend down there in LA.
Who's the owner of the Lakers.
Signing 87 power forwards this offseason and your then Knick collective delusion that it's going to be okay because it means we're going to have cap space to spend on fucking... Nah, no one. Because you had 2 max spots this year and no one fucking came. So the collective delusion lives on.
Bobby Portis came.
Hey. Fighting Bobby Portis.
Yeah, I actually like Bobby Portis.
Steve Franchise. You gave up Trevor Ariza and Penny Hardaway to get Francis in 06 to pair him with Stephen Marbury.
Mm.
I still don't know how a rational basketball mind ever was like, hey, you know it's going to work really great? Stephen Marbury and Steve Francis next to each other as a backcourt. Are you fuck? It put The best part was it put the Knicks over the cap at $130 million in 2006. Okay. Teams aren't over James. $130 million in 2019. James, the cap was like fucking $60 million at that point. It's fucking bananas.
Okay, but that
you
was
won
before...
23 games that year.
Okay, but that was before the research came out that having two ball-dominant point guards wasn't good.
Jerome James, 5 years, $40 million. Oh. Getting rid of Mike D'Antoni because you preferred Melo. Giving up a first rounder and 2 second rounders for Bargnani.
Oh, I completely forgot about that.
Weirdly enough, one of those second rounders turned into Jonah Bolden, Australian, now on the Sixers. Hiring Derek Fisher instead of just hiring Common to play Derek Fisher. Having Kurt Rambis in any way involved with your franchise. Mm. Trading young Marcus Camby and just drafted Nene for a washed up, having just come off a broken knee, Antonio McDice.
Oh, my gosh.
And literally...
And that was Marcus Camby's second run with the Knicks.
Exactly. He'd come back. He'd come
home.
And
he was also a fan favorite.
Just about to get massive and awesome. And boom. No, you went, oh, McDice would be good. Love McDice. But
yeah, he was,
not that,
he was good.
Not that
no.
stage of McDice.
No.
And of course, anytime James Dolan literally did fucking anything.
Can I just toss one in as a positive, just so we're kind of ending on a positive note? Sure. And it's not basketball related, keeping with my theme. 1:30 in the morning, I don't remember what night, J.R. Smith tweets out, I'm riding my bike down Riverside Drive. Who wants to come with me? Riverside Drive, for those of you in Australia, I don't know, James. What's it like? Is it like riding it along the casinos in the Yarra River? Or what?
No,
what
it's like riding down St. Kilda Road. Dude.
Okay.
It's like, it's very fucking long.
Very long. Very
like,
long.
Jesus.
Quite beautiful during the day. And he does that, and then he posts a photo when he gets to the bottom of Manhattan Island with loads of fans who joined him on this bike ride. And J.R. Smith, crazy guy, but a real Nick at heart. Real Nick at heart.
Love it. All right, let's do the Game Day Bullet Game Day, Patty Mills Twitter check-in, and all the game previews for the weekend after this one from Rowdy.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Oh, yes. Love me some Fascinator. Anyway, it's Patty Mills, Game Day Baller, Game Day. Twitter check-in. The inspiration board, Jake.
Ooh.
Just look at Patty Mills' Twitter and just get inspired. Today,
It's
Danger. Danger emoji.
She's singing the mystical song?
Propellers on the chopper are dangerous. No go zone. I believe it's a video of Jakob Poeltl blocking the absolute shit out of Shai Reddick-Gilgeous Alexander. Oh no, Hamidou Diallo. He became a Hamidon't in that clip. So there you go. Patty Mills backing up a teammate of his, giving him some props. Are you not inspired? I fucking am.
Very inspired.
Patty Mills is literally the greatest Australian who ever lived.
A true leader.
Game Day Baller. Game Day was his other one. Hashtag versus Oklahoma City. Hashtag go Spurs go. Awesome. All right. Goldman, you ready to do some picks? Ready to
I can't wait.
Preview the entire weekend? 24 games.
Oh yeah.
We're going to look at some odds for tomorrow's games. We're going to pick against the spread, then we're going to go straight up for the rest of the way.
Have you shared with your audience your success?
My totals this year as well. My success is all right. We're still up $700.
Yeah, I would say it's pretty good.
Yeah, we're doing all right. But over all for the year. So we went 2 of 4 today.
Mm.
And that's been... I think we had a bad day yesterday. Yeah. Mm. We went 50% pretty much this entire week apart from yesterday. For the year, we're 52 and 111. So just under 50%. All right. Let's do the game previews.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane. What do you think of Jake?
He likes the Knicks a lot.
Tell me about it. He was born in the darkness. No, wait. Yeah, he was born in the darkness like you.
Wow, we should be friends.
That's Inadvertent Bane, Jake.
I'm terrified.
Inadvertent Bane. It's a Batman reference.
Yeah, I got the reference. You'll be still terrified.
Nice one.
Excellent.
Right. So we have 11 games tomorrow. You're going to go to Tassie.
It's a lot of games. I'll be in Tassie.
Nice one.
Maybe
hanging
eating
around.
Cheese at that moment. I
eating
don't
cheese,
probably.
Hanging out in Tassie.
Yeah.
If anyone's in Tassie eating cheese, come say hi to Jake Goldman.
Send a message.
All right. So spreads and everything for tomorrow. Let's do some picks. I've somehow got to keep track of these. All right. I can do that in the thing. All right. Detroit Basketball Pistons at the Indiana Pacers.
Ugh.
Pacers, 7.5 point favorites at home. I do not like that at all.
No.
Pistons kicked the shit out of the Knicks at home the other day. Indiana's just up the road. getting 7.5 points, I kind of like the Pistons there.
Yeah, I agree with that, but hopefully neither one of us have to watch that.
No, no one's going to watch that game. Literally nobody.
Yeah.
Like, Pistons and Pacers fans won't watch
how
that.
How many people do you think will be in the stands for that?
Like 8?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cavs or Wizards, speaking of teams that no one gives a fuck about and horrible games, in Washington. Wizards, 5-point favorites at home. I like the Cavs. The Cavs can hang with horrible teams and can score. Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson versus Brad Beal and fucking Rui Hachimura, the Japanese Jordan.
I just kind of see like Brad Beal out there just stroking it and putting him over the top.
Yeah, that's the thing. The Cavs have nobody who can actually guard Bradley Beal. Yeah, but at the same time, Wiz have got like Thomas Kobe Bryant, who Tristan Thompson might be able to shut down. I like the Cavs. They just seem to sort of stick a little bit close. But yeah. I don't know what to that. Oh my God, these games suck. Memphis at Orlando? Fuck me. Orlando are 6.5-point favorites at home against the Memphis Grizzlies. Orlando is shit. They've been so fucking bad this year.
Yeah.
And how are they 6.5-point favorites against Memphis?
And Ja Rule Morant. There's another nickname for you, James. He could just score the basketball and is super fun to watch. So just for enjoyment purposes, I'm going Memphis.
We're going to go all with underdogs so far. I'm going to go with Memphis as well. I just like Memphis. Speaking of teams that can hang, they can hang a little bit.
Sure.
Again, Sacramento at Atlanta. What the fuck? Who programmed these horrible games? Sacramento.
They knew I was going to be in Tassie.
Sacramento are 1.5-point favorites in Atlanta. I kind of like that, actually.
Really?
Yeah, like the Hawks look shit. Thing is, they may have gotten a kick in the ass from their coach after that horrible showing against Chicago yesterday. So maybe the Hawks bounce back. But the Kings, I don't know, they're just deeper and better. And I feel like, yeah, give me the Kings. I don't know, traveling east, though.
That's one you just don't bet on.
Yeah, you don't bet on it, but we're going to make a pick.
But yeah, I guess that's true. I can't cop out. That's why he's the podcast host.
Jesus. I'm going to take the Kings. I don't trust that one, but fuck it. Let's roll. Warriors at Wolves. Wolves are 12-point favorites. Now, Wolves shit the bed, don't forget, against the Grizzlies. And I put Karl Anthony Towns on blast because he was fucking horrible. And fuck him. Mm. And the team is shit. Sneaky shit, the Wolves. Everyone's like, oh, they should be a playoff team.
No.
They've got nothing beside Wiggins and fucking Towns and like Robert Covington. Fuck you. So the Warriors do hang with teams for a little bit. Plus 12, though. Oh, that's a tough one. It's a really good line.
I do feel like just Draymond, Steve Kerr, they got some dignity. I just don't think they're going to kind of continually get blown out.
Draymond's not going to play.
Oh, he's not.
D'Lo might be back for this.
If no Draymond, then I think I'd go Wolves. But again,
yeah, I might go Wolves as well. I feel like it's a 15-point win for the Wolves. Cat, like, they've got no one who's going to guard Cat.
Yeah.
Cat could drop a 48. Yeah. 22. Like, Jesus.
Just depends on how he feels.
Yeah. Raptors at Pelicans. Pals, 2-point underdogs at home against the Raps. I'm going to say the Raps. Pelicans aren't good.
No, they're just not good. They're just not good. I, by the way, saw like a thing today on TV. What Zion Williamson is going to show up when he returns. Well, he hasn't played an NBA game. So it's unclear.
Looked amazing in preseason.
Yeah.
But that's going to be fascinating, but we've still got, what, another month?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was just very confused by the whole thing.
Weird. Your New York Knickerbockers of New York City against the Dallas Mavericks. Oh, it's the Zinger game. Watch it. Here we go. Extreme Zinger meal.
Extreme Zinger meal.
Give me the Extreme Zinger meal. I think they're going to kick the shit out of your Knicks. Minus 11.
Yeah.
The Mavs are favorites.
Yeah, I think that's right. Though it will be interesting to see Marcus Morris and Bobby Portis try to just destroy Porzingis'
like
knees.
A couple of Russians.
Yeah.
I feel like the Mavs will take this personally. Zinger is going to smash them. And the Knicks got absolutely fucking shit pumped the other day. And I don't like their chances against an actual good team.
So. Yeah, agree.
Bucks at Jazz. This is a pretty good one. Jazz are 2-point underdogs at home against the Bucks. Bucks smoked the Clips yesterday. Good game, fun game, but they were without Kawhi. Jazz have been very good. Jazz getting 2 points at home. This is a tricky one. What do you reckon?
I like the Jazz at home.
Yep, I do too.
Bucks on a bit of a road trip. I think, you know,
you got to drop a game here or there, right?
Yeah, and the Jazz are a really good basketball team.
Yeah, nice one. Sixers at Nuggets. No Ben Simmons for the Sixers, and they are 5.5-point underdogs on the road in Denver. I can't trust Denver at the moment. I'm going to say the Sixers.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I think that's probably right. I mean, obviously Simmons being out sucks, but Sixers on the road.
The Nuggets, there's something a bit weird about them so far this season. The Brooklyn Nets, against the Portland Trailblazers in Portland. 3-point favorites are the Blazers at home. Blazers obviously lose today in LA. Host the Nets. Kyrie versus Dame. Fun game. Very fun game. And so is the next one, actually. 3-point favorites, the Blazers. I kind of want to go with that. I think there's a bounce back game for the Blazers there where they win pretty handily against the Nets, who aren't known for their defense.
Oh, really?
So
Yeah, and Portland.
This is a bounce back. This is where like CJ hits like 17 of like 25 shots and puts up like 38, and Dame has like a sneaky 33. And you're like, yes. What the fuck happened? Like,
yeah. Yeah, and Portland can kind of beat anybody in the league at any moment, and they're reeling.
They're reeling. Yeah. Is what they're doing. They're reeling, yeah. Jake.
Good sports word.
Finally, the Heat at Lakers. The Lakers. That's a fun game. Jimmy Butler up against LeBron James.
Yeah.
Lakers are 8.5-point favorites.
I think I'd probably take the Lakers.
Yeah?
Yeah, just heater on the road, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, it's just I think I'd go Lakers. I think, you know, LeBron's motivated because everyone said he was washed.
I've heard this. All right, Sunday, we're just going to go straight up. Boston at San Antonio.
Boston.
I'm going Boston as well. They're just looking really fucking on at the moment. New Orleans at Charlotte. It's like just Jesus Christ. Really? We have to have this game? I'm going to take the Pelicans because I think Charlotte are realizing that they're the worst team in the NBA.
Yeah.
This is just head-to-head. So.
I'd go Pelicans. Sorry, I was debating whether they're the worst team or the Knicks are the worst team.
Yeah. Golden State at OKC. I'm taking OKC.
Yep.
Houston at Chicago. That's a fun, weird game. Houston, though, I think win that.
Yeah.
Chicago, though, I just can't fucking trust them as far as I can throw them. Dallas at Memphis.
Dallas.
Take the Mavs.
Yeah, I think Luka will be on the bench in the Knicks game by the third quarter.
So that's a back-to-back for Dallas. But I'm not worried by that.
Yeah.
Because it's also a back-to-back for Memphis.
Yeah.
Monday, Australia time, 8 games. Denver at Minnesota. I think Denver win that. I think that's a good... Oh, geez, we basically shit the bed handily against Philly, and how do we almost lose that? And they beat Minnesota.
Yeah.
Indy at Orlando. I'm going to take Indiana.
Agreed.
Ooh. Now, this is a weird game that Indiana lose.
Really?
Yeah. Orlando just come out of nowhere and win that one. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Charlotte at Philly. I'm going to take Philly. No worries there. OKC hosting Milwaukee. Milwaukee, who's Algonquin for the good land. I think that's a Milwaukee win.
Yeah.
Cleveland at New York City. The New York City New Knickerbockers.
Two phenomenal
teams. Now, this is a fun game because there is going to be zero defense. Mook Morris is probably going to try to fight everybody. Dele is going to shut down RJ Barrett. It's going to be incredible.
I will go Cleveland.
Who are you taking?
Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Cleveland?
Yeah.
Cleveland.
All right. Nice one. I'm going to take the Knicks.
Oh,
I think there's a weird... No, they're not better than Cleveland. No, I'm going to take Cleveland. Brooklyn at Phoenix. Now, this is a fucking game.
That'll be fun.
That's a fun game. I feel like Kyrie versus Devin Booker is going to be awesome.
Yes.
But I feel like the rub is up for Phoenix for just a second, and they're going to have like that little swoon. Brooklyn win that. Atlanta at Portland. Portland.
Yes.
Toronto at Lakers. Ooh, that's a fun one. Final game of the weekend. Who you got?
I think I'd go Lakers.
All right. Last one. I'm going to go Lakers as well. Big booty Kyle Lowry versus...
Love Kyle Lowry.
Versus what? Who's going to be playing point guard for the Lakers?
Yeah.
Maybe Rondo comes back at this point. Who knows?
One but give me the Lakers. I only hope that Rondo comes back.
Dig it. Nice. All right. Fucking hell, we're done.
Great.
Good. All right. There you go. That's it for this week. We're back Monday with all the usual dumbassery and no Knicks fans. But
lucky
come on.
For you all.
Thanks, Goldman, for coming on. This has been awesome.
It's been great. Thanks for having me in Larry Armour Studios.
Yeah, have you had fun?
I've had a lot of fun.
Noish. Look, we've got no guests on Monday. Just going to do a normal show. It's going to feel good.
A normal show.
Yeah, it's going to be strange. So make sure you're following NBA Straight on Twitter, Facey, IG, all that good shit. You know we're over the socials all the time. We do that. Get around NBAStray.com. We can go buy some shit from Amazon. First, go to NBAStray.com. Click on the giant Amazon button. Go buy a shit. And they kick us a shekel or two on the back end. Come on.
The Amazon button is huge.
It is a very big one.
Just go to NBAStray.com.
It's like you're throbbing chubby for Frankie Nicotine. Check us a rating and review on the iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever app you use on your Android phone, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, literally every podcast app.
I use Overcast.
Can you rate and review in Overcast? That's the tricky part, right?
You can't.
See, you know, to look at it and go, oh, shit, can I give this stars? Let's find out.
But I just tell James how great his podcast is in person.
Thanks, man. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, though, House Hats. They're the best Australian band of the year. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now, and it's a fucking ball burster. Love it. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green Green Green, and Dozers. All the tunes you hear in NBA Australia, they're all fucking legendary Australian bands. Go check them all out on Bandcamp, Facey, whatever. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. All right, Jake, how many Australian bands do you support?
I don't think I know any Australian bands, but I support all of them.
All right. We'll have to sort that out and take you to a band this week. All right, that's it. Thanks for coming on, Goldman.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Legendary. And we're going to close out with a replay of last week's week-ending song. We got a couple of requests of what the fuck was that? So we're going to play it again. It's so inappropriate and fucking
stupid. Is it an Australian band?
Yes.
Okay.
It got sent to me. I'm just going to keep playing. It's funny. All right.
Great.
That's it. Awesome week. Thanks for everything, you legends. Thanks to Nick Cade coming on the 350th episode. Thanks for all the support. Love all your guts. You guys are fucking legends. We'll catch you on Monday, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later. Oh, son.
How you gone?
Picked a book for a pash. She said, let me see the cash. Went to investigate that gash and wound up sticking it in her ass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't talk back.
Been on a very lucky horse. It was the fastest on a force. It would have made with me a horse. So fill her up with a special sauce.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't talk back.
My boyfriend's titties tangled loose. A pebble in some pantaloons. Got knocked up in a layback. Then milky juice run down my crack.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't talk back.
Let me recreate the scene. I was barely in my teens. My uncle opened up the door and I broke his motherfucking jaw.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't talk back.